the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Can I add my welcome to Simon? Hello to familiar faces, hello to possibly some new or returning faces too. My name is Johnny Baker, and it is my huge privilege to speak to you this morning. I'm a member of the leadership team at Belmont, and I'm also a member of the leadership team at a local high school as well. And this morning is the start of a new phase for us as Belmont. As if all things are equal, at the same moment you're probably watching this, I'll be delivering a similar talk in person at Belmont as we start smaller, COVID-secure Sunday services. The wonders of technology, eh? Anyway, last week Nick started our new autumn series called Surprised by Joy. And over the course of the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, called Philippians, funnily enough. And you'll find it in the New Testament, the second part of the Bible. Now, originally, and we still do, we called the series Surprised by Joy. But Nick and I spoke last week and agreed that this series might as well be called Living in Lockdown. I know there are loads of people who think that this book, the Bible, is out of date and irrelevant. Well, lovingly and as generously as I can possibly say this, I think you're mistaken and you possibly haven't looked at it in enough detail. This book is on the money and I believe can help us in the midst of lockdown or freedom. Now, the author of Philippians is a gentleman called Paul. And as Nick shared last week, he knows how we feel and some. As Paul writes, he is literally locked down. He's in handcuffs as he writes this letter. He's in chains. If he's in a group of more than six, it's only because there are not enough prison cells. And they would most definitely be part of one bubble. Now, you may still not believe me and are thinking that this will be largely irrelevant this morning. Well, one final attempt from me to persuade you to stay tuned in and listening, because I think this passage, Philippians 1, 12 to 30, answers three questions, namely how you should react when life is tough, how do you keep on going, and what does living in lockdown look like? Now, if that's not relevant enough for you, I give up. Let's read this passage together. But just briefly, here's a quick reminder. The church in Philippi, which Paul is writing to, is doing really, really well. If it was one of those COVID graphs that you're probably fed up with by now, the church would be on the rise. And unlike other letters, we'll find over the coming weeks that Paul has very little to say in terms of correcting the Philippians. There are some corrections, but not many. And this is a little unusual because when you read other letters that Paul wrote to other churches, there's often a lot of, why are you doing that? Can you please stop doing that? And so on. But to the church in Philippi, Paul is mainly saying, I love that. I'm encouraged by that. That is great. Keep going. This is exactly what a Jesus-shaped, gospel-formed group of people should look like. Now, this church in Philippi is probably one of the most mature pictures of Christian faithfulness that we see anywhere in the New Testament. And we hope and pray that this letter to the Philippians is going to help all of us at Belmont know how to keep going at such a tough time. It's a roadmap for us towards Christian maturity. And I'm convinced that it is absolutely perfect for this season and is exactly what God wants us to look at right now. Enough from me. Harry King is going to read this passage to us. See if you can spot the answers to those three questions. How should you react when life is tough? How do you keep on going? And what does living in lockdown look like?
Hi, I'm Harry. I'm just going into my third year studying history, and I've been at Belmont for the last year. Today's passage is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Father God, thank you that we can listen to your word together. And thank you that we can hear this talk today. Please give us open hearts to what you want to speak to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Understatement of the year coming up. 2020 has been tough. No one predicted this. It has been an extraordinarily challenging year, and the physical and the mental and the emotional scars will undoubtedly be with us for some time to come. I think what's made it more difficult is that right now it looks as if there has been a setback as cases of COVID-19 are on the rise again in the UK. Life certainly isn't easy at the moment, but let's not fall into the trap of thinking that we're the only people to ever have it tough. Life wasn't easy for Paul in the first century, was it? He suffered a number of setbacks as he tried to tell people about Jesus. And he gives us a great picture of how to react when life is tough. Now, we learn from Acts that Paul was in his own hired house, but chained day and night to Roman soldiers. They were there all the time. And to be honest, it's quite a bizarre scene, isn't it, on the face of it? Here we have one of the most strategic, energetic, intelligent missionaries there have ever been. A brilliant theologian as well. And what is he doing? Well, instead of pursuing his call, he's under guard. He has lost his freedom. Doesn't it seem on the face of it like an incredible waste of talent? You may be thinking that God's clearly messed up here. What's this guy doing in prison? Well, Paul could easily have been grumpy and miserable. But astonishingly, I don't know if you got this as we read the passage, that's not the case. Paul's reaction is amazingly positive. Have a look at verses 12 to 14. Verse 12 says this, "What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul sees opportunity in the chains, not oppression. He can now tell the Roman soldiers who are guarding him about Jesus. It's not Paul who's chained to them. They're chained to him, and they're locked up with one of God's best spokesmen. Being in prison hasn't been this setback. It's provided new opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And now the whole palace guard know about Jesus. Can you imagine being chained to Paul? The same, I think, in some ways, has been true for the church in 2020. It would be easy to be grumpy and miserable. But even though the doors, up until today, have been closed, the church in Belmont has been alive. We know that through lockdown, we've reached people that we never thought we could reach. In the midst of oppressing conditions, there has been a huge opportunity. And have a look at verse 14 as well. Notice that in the opportunity, there's a knock-on effect as well. Verse 14, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." As a result of Paul's boldness, others are speaking more courageously and fearlessly about Jesus. I was privileged recently to speak at Peter and Katie's wedding. You may have caught it on our YouTube channel. Oh, what a stressful and challenging year in which to get married. Hannah and I can't really begin to imagine the challenges that couples getting married have been facing this year or are facing. However, we were struck by Peter and Katie and other couples that we know who are getting married about what a great attitude they've had. Because rather than grumbling about what they don't have, they've chosen to celebrate what they do have. And that's exactly what Paul did. And that's what we as a church are called to do right now. Do I enjoy being in a room on my own, speaking to a camera, doing a talk? No, I do not. It's very weird. Am I a bit fed up with online services? To be honest, yes. It's absolutely amazing what Harry and team have done and what they're doing, putting on our online services. And I thank God for them. But we know it's not the same. Do I want to be singing and worshiping with everyone on a Sunday morning in the building? Yes, I do. However, we can choose to celebrate and embrace what we have or grieve what we don't have. Which one is it going to be? Paul chose to celebrate despite his circumstances. And he gives us a great picture of how to live when life gets tough. But how on earth does he or anyone keep going? When Harry read the passage earlier, if you were picturing someone writing from prison, then you would probably have marveled at the writing. Paul's under house arrest in Rome and may get notice of his execution at any moment. Yet there's so much joy in his words. This doesn't feel like the words of a locked down man. Now, I don't know what personal challenges you face. Maybe you're facing marriage issues. You might be struggling with singleness. It might be financial concerns that may be bothering you. Or maybe unemployment. Well, whether it's work, school, college, uni, relationships, or home, if Paul can be joyful, then it is possible for us to know joy too, even in the midst of the unprecedented events of 2020. Look at verse 18. The important thing is that in every way, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Isn't that amazing? In the middle of hardship, Paul managed to rejoice and vowed to continue to rejoice. But how did he manage this? That's the question, isn't it? What's the secret? Well, funnily enough, I think a C.S. Lewis quote might be key. C.S. Lewis, Mr. Narnia, if you like, said many incredible things, but I think he particularly nails it with this comment. He said this: don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. The secret of Paul's joy is that he's living for something that cannot be taken away, something that's not fragile. Paul's happiness and joy, it doesn't come from money or from sex or from a relationship, from work, sport or power. Paul finds joy in Jesus. What trips up many people in 2020, be they Christian or non-Christian, is that they hope and trust in things that they may lose, things that will not last. If your happiness and joy comes from earthly things, then I'm sorry to say, but one day you will lose them. And that in many ways is what has shaken so many in 2020. Many in this world try to avoid talking or even thinking about death, but COVID-19 has brought it into sharp focus. And if you're watching this right now and you're fearful that your joy, your happiness could be lost, well, here's the best news you'll ever hear. It's possible to have joy and happiness and keep it forever. Even in jail, Paul rejoices because he knows that Jesus is in control. As a result, no situation is cause for anything other than joy for Paul. Chains? No problem. They've let me chat to the police guard. And verse 21 is the key verse which tells us exactly how Paul kept going. And if you remember nothing else from this morning, please, please, please remember verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knows that the very best, the deepest happiness and joy you could ever find are found in Jesus. And if you find your happiness and joy in Jesus, the incredible news is that you can't lose it. Because even if the worst happens and you die, then you will be united with your greatest love, Jesus. You can keep going in life if Jesus gives you the most joy. But if it's money, status, comfort, or anything else, please beware. One day they will go. And the problem often comes is when Christians subtly rewrite personally verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But what sometimes happens is the words Christ and consequently gain disappear. And they're replaced by things like, for to me to live is all about friendship and to die is, well, that's loss. To me to live is about money and comfort, and to die is going to be sad and painful. For to me to live is freedom, and to die is to be trapped. The key to keeping going, though, is to live for Jesus. And then, I promise you, to die is gain. In your life, what words would appear in that verse? Is verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Or are those words different? Now, if you're not sure about that, what would your best friend say if they were asked that question about you? How should you react when life is tough? I think you should celebrate. That's what Paul says. Celebrate what you have rather than grieve what you don't have. How do you keep going in trying times? Don't let your happiness depend on something you can lose. Depend on Jesus and the exciting future he has in store. And finally, what does it look like going forward in lockdown? What does living in lockdown really look like? So what does following Jesus look like in 2020 with COVID-19 in town? Verse 27 nails it, I believe. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, even if a global pandemic takes hold, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. The story is told of a soldier who ushered into the presence of Alexander the Great on a matter of discipline. The soldier hadn't been keeping himself fit for battle, a few too many calories for a man in his position. Anyway, Alexander's words to him were sharp and to the point. Be like me, or don't bear my name. Paul's challenge to the Christians in Philippi was exactly that. They should live lives worthy of the gospel, lives that reflected Jesus. And guess what? It's the same challenge nearly 2,000 years later, to reflect Jesus whatever happens. It's as if Jesus says to us, to copy Alexander's words, be like me, or don't bear my name. Being like Jesus, living worthy of the gospel, will be reflected in everything. Our relationships, our language, our personal behaviour, you name it, it's everything. And there are three specific challenges towards the end of the passage for followers of Jesus that I'm going to close with. They're going to be so important for us in the coming weeks and months as things may well get even more challenging. Firstly, the second part of verse 27, Paul writes this, whether I come and see or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. The challenge is to stand firm. We've got to be committed to Jesus. We've already seen that COVID-19 has brought unexpected opportunities to share the gospel. But there is equally the danger as the season goes on that we slowly and gradually retreat. Paul says, stand firm. Don't be a passenger. Don't be a waverer. Don't be easily pushed off course. The world's full of Christians who can be on their retreat, who when things get difficult, play down their Christianity. Stand firm, says Paul. Now you may be sat there wondering, what on earth can I do at a time like this? Loads is the answer. The building is still partially shut, but we're alive and we need help with all sorts as we try to reach out to neighbours and beyond. There's jobs to do in under five, there's help needed in children's work and youth work. There's work to be done to ensure that we can use the building in a limited COVID secure way. There's pastoral work, there's visiting, there's home group leading, there's mentoring, there's discipleship, and loads more things. Drop us an email or call if you would like to help or get involved. We'd love you to. We're not going to retreat. We want to stand firm, be it in our homes, be it in our workplaces and beyond. Second challenge is also in verse 27, the challenge of unity. We're called to stand firm, yes, but notice the end bit, in one spirit, to use the exact words of that verse. Paul has heard of some dissension in the Philippian church, and so he's stressing the importance of unity with our fellow Christians. Down the centuries, Satan has had an absolute field day by getting Christians to fall out. One of his unchanging tactics is to divide and conquer. We'll fall out over internal matters, and we'll forget about the major challenge we've got of telling people about Jesus. Churches in every generation that have successfully withstood Satan's attacks are those which have proved the value of standing together in friendship and prayer and practical support. This is a really dangerous season for the church in many ways, as well as the exciting opportunities, because of all the uncertainty. Some will be watching, frustrated that more ministries haven't restarted. Some will be concerned that too much has restarted. Others will be worried about new things we're doing. And some will be annoyed that some things we haven't stopped doing. Satan could have a field day. But let's not let him. Let's stay united in one spirit. Stand firm, be united. And thirdly, be fearless. Be fearless. End of verse 27, start of verse 28. Contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. In many parts of the world today, Christians experience extreme forms of persecution. Many are imprisoned or even lose their lives for being Christians. That isn't so in our country. However, the signs are growing that the modern tide of aggressive secularization is going to place many of us under increasing pressure if we stand up for our faith. But Paul reminds us that things haven't changed over the years. He encountered opposition. And we will too if we continue to follow Jesus, if we continue to contend for the faith of the gospel. So Paul says to the first century Philippian Christians, and he urges us as well, to be fearless. Don't be frightened. Stand firm, members of Belmont Chapel. Be united and be fearless. I need to finish now. But I want to finish about 600 yards away from where we are right now. See you in a moment. 2020 has been and continues to be incredibly challenging and seemingly long. Someone recently commented that they couldn't believe we were only in the 17th month of the year. I want to finish this morning at a graveside, not in a morbid way, but hopefully, believe it or not, an encouraging one. This is Higher Cemetery in Heavertree. I'm at the Hamlin Lane end, if you know the area at all. And I'm not at a random graveside. I'm at the graves of two former Belmont members, Ronald and Dorothy Baker. Now, I didn't call them that when they were alive. Grandpa and Grandma seemed much more appropriate. Ronald died in 2011 and Dorothy died earlier in 2005. The passage we've been looking at this morning always reminds me of them because of six words from it appear on their headstone. From verse 23, with Christ, which is far better. They're simple words, aren't they? But they capture the Christian hope that one day, when we die, the suffering, the pain and the tears will end, and we're going to be with Jesus. My granddad used to preach when he was alive at Belmont, and I'm absolutely convinced that if he was around in 2020, he'd be urging us, just like Paul, to keep going whatever happens. Stand firm, be united. And be fearless. The coming days will undoubtedly be difficult, but we've got to celebrate what we have as opposed to grieving what we don't have. And if we want true, lasting happiness and joy, we need those words Christ and gain in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. Depend on Jesus. He will not let you down. Remember those words in verse 23, with Christ, which is far better. If Ron and Dory were here, they'd testify to that.